Hello, welcome back to Heroic Journeys, Leveling Up with Chantel and Tamara. Today, we're going to be talking about the body.
So, I want to start with some song lyrics from a favorite song of mine. This is Jackson Browne, and because we're calling our episode Being Alive in Your Body, this song is called Alive in the World. I want to live in the world, not inside my head. I want to live in the world. I want to be counted with the hopeful and the willing, with the open and the strong, with the voices in the darkness fashioning daylight out of song, and the millions of lovers alive in the world.
So the first thing that comes to mind when I think about the body is actually yoga. I feel like yoga brings a lot of things together. Like there's a lot of overlap. Some people think that yoga is all about doing certain positions correctly, but what yoga is really about is combining breath with movement. And what that does is really gets us out of our mind and back into our bodies.
Yeah, I think, if I think about the opposite to what I just read from Jackson Browne, I read a quote the other day from Thomas Edison that said something like the chief function of the body is to carry the brain around. And we've been so conditioned to be in our heads. And so this idea of getting back into the body and realizing that, you know, we talk so much about the heroic journey and being on a hero's journey. And if you think of it, your body is your super suit, right? And so how can you take a journey if you're not in your super suit and you're just somewhere other than in your body all the time and you're not present? You can really actually feel the energy of someone who's not present in their body. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel as solid. It doesn't feel as alive. It feels like they are elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And, for someone who's an empath, it's actually dangerous to not be in your body because we have just an epidemic of narcissism right now in our world. And so, you know, if you're looking for someone to manipulate, someone that you can really influence, you can feel the softness and the lack of boundaries of somebody who's not in their body.
Yeah, that's why Sana Shoket always talks about trust your vibes. You know, like everyone has like a gut instinct or, you know, most people have like a first instinct when it comes to meeting somebody or, you know, just anything they interact with in life. And often the mind comes in and just, you know, has you not going with your instinct. Oh, well, right? They haven't given me any reason to not trust them, right?
Oh.
But like the body has so much more intelligence than we give it credit for.
Yeah, you know, and that, I mean, what you're saying is, that's really triggering me in terms of if you've grown up in a really strong religious culture, there's been a huge denigration of the body. The body is evil. The body will lead you astray. The body has impulses and you should do the best that you can to transcend the body and go higher than the body. And I think for women especially, that's really opened the door to not trusting what your body is telling you and being open to manipulation. Yeah, that's a huge thing. It really rocked my world kind of when I discovered the work of Wendy DeRosa, who does a lot around empaths. And I learned from her that empaths, when you are very, very young, and either something could happen that's traumatic in your world, or you could just grow up because you have this acute sensitivity, you could very early on develop the idea that the world isn't a safe place. And then there's this tendency to pull up energetically in the body so that you are not you're not solidly in your body, you're not anchored. If you know your chakra system, you kind of pull out of your root chakra. And as a result, you're looking for something else to plug into to anchor yourself. And it tends to be people. So then you become the people pleaser. You're always looking to anchor yourself for safety and security into people who may or may not treat you right. And so getting back into your own body is hugely empowering.
Mm-hmm. I remember first learning about the difference of breathing from your chest or breathing from your belly and just how different that feels.
Yeah.
And when you're feeling all tensed up and just recognizing, oh my gosh, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And then taking a deep belly breath. Well, that brings me back to the next episode, the spirit, like that is like and calling your spirit back into your body, right? And then there's so much overlap.
And I mean, for me, the breathing has been the spinal cord breathing, like from my root chakra up my spinal cord and then out through my head and then back down again, and just breathing up and down and growing a backbone, like really growing that sense of solidity and structure. You were talking about yoga earlier. So what are some of your favorite body practices to get yourself solidly in your body?
Well, I like yoga with Adrienne, but my favorite episodes of hers are the 30-day thing where on day 30 she only has music. She doesn't give verbal instruction, and like the music is very meditative. And so she says just move to how your body wants to move. So like it's like literally like a sort of qigong or whatever kind of dance or tai chi. Like it's just very, it's hard to describe, but I love it. And it just really, you can close your eyes and you just really feel in your body. Music brings me back to my body all the time. Like I can be driving tensed up and I turn on a song and I'm just like,
Well, that brings up another metaphor for me because we talked about the body as your supersuit. But it's also your work of art. It's your masterpiece, right? And so what does your body want to express that your soul has to say? And you look at dancers and the things they can do. I get so moved by, you know, people who are so present in their body and can respond to music in that way. It's beautiful. I love watching the Olympics to see what the body can do. And that intuitive just movement, you watch an athlete and their sense of timing, and it's just awe-inspiring.
And there's so much difference too, I find, with like choreography versus feeling the music, or even a jamming session where you have your musical instrument and you're jamming together, just making stuff up on the spot versus like, trying to get a piece just right.
Well, getting back to being an empath, when you are an empath, you can be so self-conscious about your body and being in your body, which really inhibits that flow. And so part of being alive in the body, I think, is just learning again to go with the flow of what your body wants to do.
Or what do you want to eat, right? Like it's oftentimes like let's say I have a salad and I'm just like, well, why don't I have this salad more often? I love this. I love the colors of it. I love how it makes me feel. And I just find so often I haven't asked myself what I need, what I want. I haven't even thought, what is my preference?
Well, we're in our thought processes so much that actually stopping to live sensually in the body, you start feeling a lot more alive when you're just sort of asking your body, what are you noticing? There's a type of meditation where you just tune into what your senses are picking up. What am I hearing? What am I smelling? What am I actually seeing in my mind's eye? Or go out in nature and do the same thing, just eyes wide open, and what do I see? What do I feel? I never feel more alive than if I'm in a West Coast rainforest or by the sea. Those are kind of the two places where I just feel this total sense of aliveness.
Because all of your senses are, like you're aware of all of your senses. And how often are we just not aware of it? Like,
I get that feeling actually in an art gallery. If I look at beautiful art, or you mentioned food, and you know, there's a slow food movement that started in Italy. I think this was back in the, oh, I can't even remember, 1970s or something. But this idea of coming back to preparing food made with local ingredients that are grown locally. I love growing herbs and having fresh herbs in my food. But even like blessing the food as you're preparing it and then taking time to savor it. I'm really, as a discipline, learning to look at my plate before I eat and just notice the colors on my plate and, you know, let the aroma of it kind of arise before I eat. And then taking slow forkfuls of it and just savoring and making food, making eating like a beautiful sensual experience.
It's like mindfulness, right? It's super being present. And yeah, I'm just thinking about like why is sensual, even the word sensual, why is that taboo to say? Like, why do people's ears perk up? We've
Oh, the
been so, yeah,
conditioning.
we've been so conditioned out of our preferences and out of, what we want, or even just slowing down in life, like you were saying, slowing down with eating, but slowing down with everything. Enjoying the journey versus the destination in all walks of life.
Well, if I think about like Joel and I, when we travel, we really do slow down because our two modes of enjoying any place we go to are walking and cycling. And you interact with the world so much more when if instead of driving down a street with your windows closed, you're walking past a bakery and smelling the fresh bread, or you're cycling, by the canal in Montreal and just watching the sun sparkle on the water. And I remember those trips so much better. You anchor yourself in your senses, and then that is ingrained in your memory forever.
Like all of our cells are listening. And what were you saying earlier about Martha Beck?
Oh yeah, cellular memory and body memory. We both have a book called The Body Keeps the Score, which is all about the memories that your body holds. And like before I get to Martha Beck, I'm just thinking about how we talked about cell regeneration, and science tells us that every 7 years you have an entirely new body because every cell has regenerated in that time. Some parts of your body regenerate faster, but other cells take longer. But just think of that your body has entirely changed since 7 years ago, and yet you still have the same scars and markings on your body because your body retains the memory. And so Martha Beck has this exercise that she's done with her clients where she has them scan from their toes up and just slowly scan up the body. And anytime they come to a place that feels tense or blocked, to stop and have a conversation with that part of your body. What's going on? What would you like to tell me? This is something I do in guided imagery and music too, that if someone's having imagery with their music and then they feel something in their body, I ask them if that part of your body could talk, what would it say? And it really, can cut right to the heart of what's going on in your life, what's blocking you, where the trauma is.
Yes, because the body is the subconscious mind. And yeah, once you can work with where it is in your body, you can give it a color and bring it outside of your body and work with it. And
You could journal with it.
yeah, exactly. I feel like while our cells are regenerating all the time, we can mindfully be choosing, the direction that we want to go down. Like, you have a healing journey. Like, maybe speak a little bit about what you were visualizing in your healing
Oh, that,
journey
yeah, with
about
my
your
cancer
body.
journey. I guess because I had read a lot about the power of visualization before I went into cancer treatments. And I initially wasn't told that I would need to have chemo. It was just going to be a surgery and some radiation. And then when the bio or the results came back from the surgery and it was a different picture than what they had given me originally, I had to have chemo. I really thought about what did I want, what kind of control did I want to take over my chemo treatments so that I could frame it in a way that felt healing and life-giving to me, rather than the idea that they're pouring these toxic chemicals into my body. And so the imagery that came to me was that my body is a garden, and the chemo was going to be that I was watering the garden and helping things grow in a healthy way. And so I recorded music to listen to during my chemo treatments that was kind of evoked for me the imagery of gardens and flowers and things. And then I would just visualize that as I was sitting there with the IV in, that I was nourishing the garden. So that kind of changed the complexion of everything. Then when I had the radiation treatments, that was the sun shining on the garden, helping everything grow.
That's just so
So
beautiful.
we talked about body practices earlier, and you were mentioning yoga and dancing. And for me, Qigong has been the thing that has really helped me get back into my body. I find it really grounding. And because Qigong is so closely tied to nature, all of that nature imagery, every movement in Qigong is connected to either some phenomenon of nature or an animal or something. So then I feel that connection of my body is kind of like the cell in the larger body of nature. And I draw on those energies, and it feels the more you do an energy practice, it has a cumulative effect. And so it just feels better and better and better the more you do it. So I really recommend, there's a couple YouTube channels. Yochi is one, Yoqi. She's got some free yoga flows that you can watch and do along with her. Li Holden Qigong is another one. Wonderful stuff. And I can't actually start my day now without Qigong.
That's awesome. I think also when I think about the body, I think about the word embody. And for so long, I didn't know what it meant when someone said to embody something, you know? And so I learned this one thing about like the posture of excellence, right? Where you have your chin up and your shoulders back and you stand up straight and it just puts you in a different mood. Now, what comes to mind when you think about embody, the word
Well,
embody?
the image that came to mind just as you were talking now, because I once listened to someone talking, it was a similar thing about the posture of excellence, but it was like somebody was with an audience and he had them imagine something, and I can't remember what it was, that kind of just deflated them. And then he said, imagine that you're walking through the room and you've got a superhero cape on. And just imagining that right away changes your posture. So it's that idea for me of like, if your body is your masterpiece, what is your body posture saying about who you understand yourself to be? Because you're broadcasting to the world by the way you move through the world. And so people see a read a lot. I mean, we know body language is what, like 70, 90% of communication. So we're reading each other's body language all the time. And Mel Robbins has this practice of like every morning you give yourself a high five in the mirror, and you can't help but like smile and be uplifted, because we're so conditioned that the high five is like this just complete vote of you've got it, you've got it, I totally have confidence in you, way to go, girl, kind of thing. And so just that one little thing can make a difference in how you start your day.
Yeah, so one question I'd like to ask anybody who's listening is, when do you feel the most alive in your body? And how can you bring that into your everyday life? I've been listening to a lot of Amanda Flaker, and she's been talking about the law of gold, and it boils down to investing at least 2.5 hours of your day doing something you enjoy. How many of us do that?
Yeah,
And
something that
how,
makes you feel totally
yeah,
alive.
and it can like it affects your money flow, like it affects everything energetically when you invest your time and energy into feeling alive and having that resonance.
Yeah. And the funny thing about being present in your body is that it actually stretches time. You know, and for those of us who are always feeling like time is slipping away on us, especially when we have holidays or are doing things that we love. I used to, you know, have this anxiety of, oh, I'm always keeping track of how much time is left in my weekend or my holiday. And then now that I've learned to be so much more present, it doesn't bother me at all, because in the time that I have, I am present and I remember that time so much better. So I would really recommend, like, if you want to get back in your super suit, develop a body practice, do something, even if it's just grounding yourself in the morning, like imagining a grounding cord going from your root chakra down to the center of the earth and pulling up from Mother Earth that energy and that aliveness, something to get you solidly in your body in the morning before you start your day. Or even like Sandra Bullock, right? The
Yeah,
dancing.
dance before you leave the house changes the way you move in the world. And I feel like the more that we do things that make us lose track of time, things that make us forget to check our phone, like we're really present and in the moment and enjoying life. And those are the moments we remember. Those are the things that count.
Yeah. And the benefit too of that is that it really can be an antidote for anxiety. Because anxiety tends and depression often come a lot from being far too much in your head and not enough in the body.
And like CBT, it teaches us that one affects the other, the mind, the body, the emotions. Like if you change one, you can change the other. So.
Yeah, we're interconnected systems. So awesome. Find a body practice, get yourself in your body, and be alive in the body, be alive in the world.
Yes, until next time,
You,
remember to be.
the hero of your own journey.
Yay.